Jesus Christ had done for him. He says, I think myself happy. When I'm thinking about this message, I think myself happy because I'm going to preach myself happy before this is over. This is a good message. This is a message that's going to encourage you, and the message I hope will open your eyes to some aspects of your Christian life, you personally, that you may not have considered fully to this point. Romans chapter 1, verses 5 and 6 is where we're going to start in my message. And this is what my version says. Through him, we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. You are the called of Jesus Christ. This is the main focus of my message. In fact, the title of my message is Called of Jesus Christ. You and you and you and you, and I can point to every single one of you, you are the called of Jesus Christ. There is a call on our life. We belong to Jesus. We are called to belong to Jesus. And I'm going to focus in on being called in just a moment. Father, thank you for this evening and thank you for the great start we had with worship and our time of prayer with our young people. Lord, again, we pray that you bless them as they go, that even now before they step on that bus and head on the long trip, Lord, that you would prepare their hearts, that you would stir up a desire and a passion for a greater love and understanding of you. And tonight, Lord, I pray that we would have our hearts stirred by this message, by the truth of your word. This is all your word, Lord God. And we want this word to have its effect on the lives and the hearts, the minds of people who are here tonight. And I pray that your spirit would take your rightful place in this proceeding. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now there is a calling on all of our lives. I believe that with every part of my being. And I believe that you have a very specific calling on your life. Like the Apostle Paul in Romans 1, verse 1, Paul, he just lays it out here. He says, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. Paul knew exactly what his calling was. Amen. And you, I believe, have a specific calling, but you also have a corporate calling. We all have a corporate calling. That is a calling to the body of Christ and to the body of Christ at large, but also, I believe, to the body of Christ in a locality. A local church is basically what I'm saying. And it is my greatest hope that everybody who is sitting in the seats here tonight could say, I believe I am called to Visible Church. I can say that. I believe I am called to Visible Church. That I'm here not just out of happenstance. I'm not here because it's convenient for me to be here. I'm not here because, well, I like the music. And the pastor, he can be funny sometimes. I'm not here because of that. I'm here because I feel I'm called here. This is the place God wants me to be. This is the place God wants me to serve. And I'm saying to you, you have a calling to a local body of believers. And if okay, Pastor Ben's not here tonight. Petraea's not here tonight. Keep this a secret. Don't let them know that we've recorded this. But if you don't feel called to this church, if you can't say, I am called to this church, I would encourage you to go find the church that you are called to. Because you will never grow, you will never be all that God wants you to be, just hanging out, taking a back seat, because you don't feel like this maybe is your church home. If this is your church home, and we all have homes, right? And at our home, everybody in our family participated. Everybody in our family did their thing, their job, their work. Everybody was a part of it. We didn't have anybody that just said, oh, well, yeah, they're a part of the family, but they don't do really anything. No, everybody contributed. And this is our family. This is our church family. If you don't feel called to this church, then you need to find the place where you are called. Now, if half of you are gone on Sunday morning when Pastor comes back, it's going to be hard to keep that a secret. But get my heart here. You are called to a body, and that means you are to be fitted together like living stones. Each of us has a part to play. And if you're not playing your part, you either don't realize that you're called, or you're ignoring that calling, or you're called somewhere else. And my heart, you know, my heart is not just to get you to do more or to be more committed. My heart is to help you find what God has for your life, the calling that's on your life. And if it's not here, good golly, go find it, because you'll never be fully satisfied until you do. There's a call on your life, a call to Christ Jesus, a call to the church of God, a call to a specific body. Let's move on. Romans chapter 1, 7. This says, to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. We are called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are called to be saints. What does that mean? We're called to be different. We're called to be special. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians 2:14. By the way, you are going to need your Bible tonight. Well, actually, you know, I'm hoping we'll get all of the scriptures up on the screens. I'm going to go way fast, and I've got a whole lot of scriptures, so you might be better off if you're taking notes, just write down the scripture references and let our screens be your Bible for tonight, because there's just a lot that we are going to cover. 2 Thessalonians 2:14 says, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. What were we called for? The obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what the saints are all about. The New American Standard translates this line as that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Called to that glory, obtaining the glory, that you may gain the glory. I've been looking at a newer translation lately, the Berean Bible. It says, that you may share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Actually, the NIV says that too. It uses that term, share. There's a lot happening here. You as saints, you get to share, you get to obtain, you get to gain the glory for Jesus Christ. Oh man, are you happy yet? I'm getting there. I tell you, we are called to something. Right? Called to Jesus. We're called to the church. We're called to be a part of sharing in and gaining the glory for Jesus Christ. We're called to something, but first we were called from something. 2 Peter 2:9-12 says this. I mean, I tell you, I'm going through a lot of scripture tonight, but this is all good stuff. It says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Glory. Does it get any better than this? Yeah, I'm going to share more. It does get better. There's so much good stuff here. Beloved, verse 11, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. We are called out of the world, out of darkness, into his light, to be that chosen generation, that royal priesthood, a special people for God. We're called to something. Praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. You have been called. And you think you're not worthy of being called, but you have been called. And you are worthy. God has chosen the foolish things of the world, and I'd be one of the biggest fools of all, if you want to put it that way. I have been called. You have been called. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. That no flesh should glory in His presence. See, we're not boasting about this, other than we're boasting in what God has done, that He's chosen us, the least likely to be chosen. He's chosen us, that no flesh should glory in His presence, but of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, He who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Amen. This is what you've been called to. And I'm telling you, we talk about, you know, being called all of the time, and I know we do not take it seriously enough. If somebody walked in that door right now, some big government official, and they looked at you and they said, you are now called to go over to the Ukraine and help those people, if that was your calling, all of a sudden it'd get real serious in here, wouldn't it? That's a serious calling. And you would not just take it lightly. You would just not go, oh yeah, hey, great. It's a serious thing. And this is a very weighty thing that I'm sharing with you tonight. The calling that you have on your life. Man, oh man. We are called, and I love the way that this puts it, that he doesn't call, you know, the smartest people in the world necessarily. He doesn't call only the richest people or the chosen people as far as, you know, what society would think is great. He takes those weak things. He takes the normal things, and he raises them up to his level of glory. See, what I want you to do is I want you to understand that you should not be daunted or intimidated by your past when we're talking about how God has called you. That past doesn't matter. God called you. Don't be intimidated by your IQ. You know, you may think, I'm not that smart. I'm telling you, God called you. And it's in our weakness that He's made strong. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't be just set back because you feel you are weak and that you're deficient. We are all weak. We are all deficient. God has never called anyone who has been fully qualified aside from Jesus Christ. And of course, He's God, so we can still go back to that. God has never called anybody who was fully qualified. So when you look at yourself in the mirror and you go, oh, I don't know why God would use me, I can tell you why He would, because He has a purpose, He has a plan for you, and He has gifts and anointings for you if you'll step into it, if you'll take this call seriously. Are you serious about the calling? And my wife asked me as we were coming into the building, she said, what is your message on today? I said, it's on the being called. And I know she did not have any idea it was going to be like this. Let me keep going. You know, there, in the sense that we're talking tonight, God is the only one who can call you. See, we talk about how he's called each and every one of us from our own pasts, whether good, bad, or otherwise, in our own deficiencies or our strengths. He's called all of us for His purpose, and God is the only person who can call you. Your mama can't call you in this way. Pastor Ben can't call you in this way. This is something that only comes from God. So let me say this. You don't need man's approval. Amen. For your calling. You don't need man's approval. In fact, well, I won't go that far. Let me just say this. Stop waiting for man to approve your calling. Because oftentimes, it may not even be recognized by them, but God knows what your calling is, and God will honor that calling. There are times in church leadership, someone will come to us and they'll say something along the lines of, I want to start a Bible study. And what they're really asking is that we would give it our sanction, that we would say, okay, you're going to start a Bible study and we're going to stand behind you and we are going to make sure that it goes well and we're going to promote it. But what if we don't? Are you not going to teach the Bible? If you feel like you're a called teacher, if that's the calling on your life, are you just going to walk away and go, oh, well. You don't need our approval to do the work that God has called you to. And if you do the work that God has called you to, if you've truly been called to that gifting, well, you'll be successful. You may struggle. You may have difficulties. There will be people who will criticize you. But that's just part of being in ministry of any sort. You're going to get criticism. Don't expect to get the glowing approval of man for the calling that God has on your life. I mean, just don't be intimidated by that. If you sense the calling of God on your life, then you begin to walk it out. And it'll become evident. You know, I might make this a very long message if I keep going like this. Some of you don't know how I ended up here at Visible Church. But here's the reality of it. They didn't call me up and say, hey, we need another pastor. Could you come and help out? No, I just came and I was a regular member. They knew I was a pastor in the past, but I wasn't given a position. I wasn't given a salary. I was just one of the normal folks that came to church. And as time went on, I kept doing what I just do. I just do what God has shown me to do, or what God has given me abilities to do. I got busy in the church, and I've been working and doing whatever I could to help this body grow. And you know what? Eventually, people began to notice. They began to recognize. And eventually, they made it a formal thing and ordained me as a pastor in this church. See, I didn't come with some man's calling me here. Amen. I just came because this is where I felt God would have me and my family. And we served. And so your calling will make a way for you. If you have that gifting and you walk it out with the Lord in the strength of the Holy Spirit, that's going to get recognized and you will find a place of satisfaction because you're able to be a bigger and stronger part of the body. You have a calling. Again, I'm telling you, I know there are people who have just been watching and listening to good messages, and they have a few thoughts here and there, but they just haven't moved on it. Come on, people. Let's start moving in our calling. Galatians chapter 1, verse 15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, this is Paul writing, and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with the flesh and blood, nor did I go to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. I went to Arabia and I returned again to Damascus. See, this is the Apostle Paul. Anybody hear this guy? He's pretty successful. He kind of had it going on in the kingdom of God. The Apostle Paul, when he sensed the calling on his life, he didn't run to Jerusalem and say to the other apostles, hey, do you think this is a real thing? Is this something I should be doing? No, he just went about the work of doing what God called him to do. And by the time he eventually made it to Jerusalem, they said, oh, this guy's an apostle. He's got something going on. He didn't need the approval of man to do what God called him to do. Now, I'm not against the approval of men. I like to be approved. But I'm just saying, don't hold back because nobody is going, oh, well, there's that person, and you know who they are. It doesn't much matter. God knows who you are, and he knows what he's called you to, so just walk in it. When Paul did go to Jerusalem, well, they welcomed him. Even a little timidly because of his past, but it was soon very clear that he was called of God to be an apostle. All right, where am I? Romans 11:29, we know this verse. I'm not even going to have him put it up. It says, "For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable." So when you've been called, that's never going to go away. You can fight it, you can ignore it, you can set it aside if you want, but it's never going to go away. That gift is irrevocable. So you might as well walk in it. You might as well allow God to use you for what He's prepared you for what He has gifted you for. Hallelujah. We weren't called to a religion. We weren't called to a career, right? Jesus didn't suffer and die so that we could just follow some religious rules. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, I'm going to start in verse 18. I told you I have a lot of scripture tonight. Was anyone called while circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Was anyone called while uncircumcised? Did you notice the Bible talks about getting called a lot? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. But keeping the commandments of God is what matters. Let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. You were called while a slave, or were you called while a slave? Do not be concerned about it, but if you can be made free, rather use it. For he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men, brethren. Let each one remain with God in the state in which he was called. Hallelujah. That's not talking about Wisconsin. The state in which you were called. If that's the case, I was called in Missouri. Hallelujah. It's where I got saved. So, whatever state you were in, just begin to move in what God... You don't have to change everything and turn everything upside down in your life. Just begin to move in the calling in which you sense God has called you. And well, I'll talk more about that later. Let's just keep moving on so I can get through most of this at least. So, we all know that familiar scripture, Romans 8:28, where it says that we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. You are called according to His purpose. What purpose? Well, I'm going to give you a list of purposes right now. I'm just going to run through these rather quickly. But I'm going to give you a list of purposes that you were called to. And I can say you were called to these because these are purposes, these are things all of us as believers have been called to. Just as we've been called to the body of Christ, all of us have been called to, in 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Each and every one of us have been called into a fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. What that means is it's a relationship. It is not a religion. If you don't have that kind of a relationship in your life, then you're missing your calling. Our primary call is, again, not to our vocation. It's not to our ministry. It's not a calling to leadership. And Lord, it is not a calling to leisure. You have been called to a relationship. Our primary call is to have a relationship with the living God. Man, we start there. Get the relationship right, and everything else is going to fall into place as we go. You have been called into a relationship. The next thing you've been called into, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. To the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Again, we're called to be saints, but I want to add a little aspect to this. By saints, we're talking those who are sanctified unto God. In 1 Peter 1, chapter 15, or verse 15, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. He who called you is holy. You've been called by the Holy One. We also need to be holy in our conduct. How are we doing on that? How are we pursuing holiness in our own lives? All of us have been called to this. We've been called to be holy. Now, I'm saying holy, I'm not saying perfect. Holy means to be set apart, to be distinct. That's what it means to be a saint. You are not like the rest of the world. You can be classified as something entirely different than the rest of the world. And if you were in a crowd of people and you let's say lived in some new community, would they be able to look at you and go, that person is different? That person is set aside. That person is living a different, separated life than we are. That's holiness. Not perfection. It's to be set apart, to be not conformed to the world. All right, I'm moving through my list here. I got quite a few. Because the Bible talks a lot about being called, did you notice? All right. Galatians 5, verse 13. For you, brethren, have been called. There it is again. You have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. We have been called to freedom, to liberty. Man, I remember when I got saved, there was a point in my early Christian life where I was still caught up in a religious mindset, even though I wasn't religious before I got saved. It's easy to fall into that where you think, okay, now I've got to start following the rules. I read the Bible. I got the Ten Commandments down. I got to really start hunkering down, and I got to really pay attention to what I'm doing. And then I finally caught on to grace. And the liberty that comes when we can set aside the law and just begin to live in Christ. Oh man, there is such liberty in that. Don't get caught up in the rules and the regulations. Get caught up in the love and the relationship. Amen. We are called to be free. We are called to liberty. But not just to be crazy with our liberty and just do all kinds of foolish things, as it says here. Don't use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but love, serve one another. That's what our liberty is best for. It frees us to let me tell you this. Have you ever been to a church where people are very much concerned about following the commandments? They're law-oriented. Everybody is judged by how well they carry out whatever the rules and the regulations or the general culture is of that church. I tell you what, those churches are not loving. They are mean churches. Why? Because they don't have freedom. They don't have liberty. They aren't able to love like they should love. Because everybody's concerned about everybody else's little foibles and problems and difficulties. Don't be a part of that kind of religion. Amen. You've been set free from that. It's grace and peace and joy. But don't use that liberty to let the flesh run amok. All right, moving on. We have been called to liberty. We also, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, it says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful. The peace of God. You've been called to the peace of God, to let that rule in your hearts. What is the peace of God? And thankfulness, it says at the end. The call to peace is a faith calling. The call to peace is a calling to faith. By that I mean this. Outside of faith, you will never be at peace. Again, if we can't grasp a hold of our salvation by grace through faith, you'll always be in turmoil. You'll never be good enough. You'll never be able to enjoy life because you're going to be so concerned about all the little jots and tittles that need to be taken care of. No, you're going to be free, and the way that you're going to maintain that freedom is by faith That's going to give you peace. If you're legalistic, you are not a peaceful person. If you are grace-minded and a loving person, that comes because you believe that the sacrifice of Christ meant something, that it set you free, that it paid for your sins, and that you don't have to worry about when you stand one day before the great God of the universe. You have peace. You have joy. Because you have faith. And when you're feeling a little slip and you're feeling that anxiousness, get back to faith. Get back to faith. The peace that you are called to is a calling to faith. When I start to get anxious, I start believing on God again. I start focusing my attention on the things that God has promised. And by faith, I grasp a hold of those things and I don't let go. All right. I could go on, and I will some. The next one. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. You are called to this eternal life. We're talking about salvation, plain and simple. Eternal life, as 1 Peter 5:10 says, but may the God of all grace who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, established, strengthen, and settle you. Hallelujah. There is eternal life. Not only is there eternal life, look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15. It says, for this reason, he is the mediator, talking about Jesus. He is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called, were called, may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. Not only do you have eternal life, there is an inheritance that you have received, an eternal inheritance. Again, it's tied up in salvation, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but just know this, you have been called to an eternal inheritance, something that you can't build up, something that you can't create, but God has afforded it to you. And verse, let's go to Revelation. This is where it gets fun. Revelation chapter 17, verse 14. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. You are called to war. I believe we are called to war, to fight for the kingdom of God, to fight for what is right, to fight for just the truth of the gospel. Because there are those who are coming against it. There are those who will not stop until they see it destroyed. But they won't be successful. Because the Lamb will overcome them. And the saints along with him who are called to be with him will overcome. So there is a battle. There is a war that we take part in. And I tell you, all of us are called to that war. All of us are called to it. Now, we may play different parts in the army of God, but we're all called to it. So take it seriously. Take it seriously. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, 21. In fact, I'll just begin in the middle of 20 there. But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called. Yeah, another calling. For this you were called because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. You've been called to suffer. I don't know that that would make a very good bumper sticker on the back of your car. I'm a Christian. I've been called to suffer. But I'm telling you, that is part of the calling that we have. It is part of the life. We will share in the suffering of Christ. If we aren't sharing in the suffering of Christ, we really aren't part of His. Now that's a sobering thought. But there is a suffering that will take place in our lives that we have been called to. So when it comes, don't just go, oh man, that's not supposed to happen. Well, at times it is. At times that suffering is a part of our calling. Yeah, it's hard to even say. But it's true. It's true. And if we go back to the liberty that we have, if we go back to the peace that comes through faith, the suffering is not nearly as tragic as it might be for others. Because we can share in the suffering of Christ. We've been called to it. And I wish I could spend a lot more time on that. But I need to move on. 1 Peter 3. We're almost done. We're getting there. 1 Peter 3. It's not my fault. It's just there are so many scriptures that deal with calling. You have been called so many different ways, and they're all good, and I didn't want to leave any of them out, although I'm sure I have. But I'm giving you some of the basics here. 1 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 8. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this. You were called to be a blessing. This, that you may inherit a blessing. See, it's not all about us. It's just not. Don't misunderstand. The fellowship with Jesus, that relationship, that is about you. The freedom that we talked about, the holiness that we talked about, the peace that we talked about, that you are called to, that is for you. Eternal life, right? Salvation and your eternal inheritance, and even the war that will take place, and even the suffering, that is about you. But if we've been called to all those things, then what? Then what? Then comes our expressing our faith through love. Then it becomes about blessing others. I don't want you to miss your calling. I want us to embrace every aspect of this calling. Like I said, if you were called to war at the moment, where you had to just start packing up and tomorrow you're shipping out, we'd all take this calling stuff a whole lot more serious. Well, you have been called. And it is serious. And in it, there's a lot of blessing. And in it, there may be some warring and there may be some suffering, but there's going to be peace. Hallelujah. But all of this is so that we can be a blessing, so that we can share this with others, so that we can just be a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even more to my point, you know, I don't want you to miss your calling, but even more, I don't want you to miss the fullness of your calling. I want you to understand how much God thinks of you. I mean, how many of you remember in school when it was time to pick teams? You knew what other people thought of you if they picked you. Well, let's say they picked you for every time there was a team being called for. You know, it didn't matter what the team was, they just picked you. And you go, man, I got called again. I got called. You'd know how much they thought of you. Well, think of how many times the different aspects of your life that are a calling from the Lord Jesus Christ specifically to you. I'm telling you, He thinks a lot about you. He has called you in each one of these areas. Please don't leave this place with a limited understanding of what this calling is. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. This is a prayer Paul is praying for the church in Ephesus. And he's praying that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us, towards you who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Man, I want the eyes of your understanding to be opened to the depth, to the breadth, to the love that's within the calling that he has for each and every one of us. We have been called to fellowship with him. We've been called to a life of holiness, to freedom and to peace, eternal life and a covenant inheritance. Oh, that is a rich topic. Pastor Ben, he said he's going to be preaching on covenant sometime soon. That's going to be great. You want to be there. We've been called to wage spiritual warfare. We've been called at times to suffer with Jesus, to suffer as Jesus did. And we've been called to bless others. The calling. All that we covered is God's answer to boredom. It's God's answer to unhappiness. It's God's answer to addiction. It's God's answer to sin. If you would take your calling seriously, you don't have time for boredom. You won't have time for unhappiness. I mean, not in the long run. It's not all a walk in the park. But I tell you what, it's fulfilling. It is rich. It is blessing upon blessing. My final thought from Scripture. Ephesians 4, starting in verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Walk worthy. With all lowliness and gentleness and long-suffering. Again, this is not a point of pride for us. We've been called, and not because we deserve it, but because there is grace and there is purpose. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. I just want to pray that we step into our calling and that we walk worthy of that calling. If you sense a greater calling on your life than when you first walked in here, would you stand? And let's just pray together. Let's pray that we, by God's grace, fulfill the callings in our life. Notice I said callings. There's a lot of them. Lord, I thank you. I just can't hardly imagine all that you have done for us. I can't really comprehend the fullness and the glory that is in these callings, that each and every one of them show a different facet of you and your love for us, but also of what you hope for us, of how you are equipping us, of how you are strengthening us. And Lord, we have somewhat been blind, or at least ignorant, or at least not really serious about the callings in our life. And Lord, right now we commit ourselves to fulfill and to follow through on the callings as we are urged by your Spirit. Lord, I understand we can't do everything at once, but we can begin to focus in on the thing that you bring to our mind. And so I pray, Lord, that of all of these callings right now, that you would settle in the hearts of those who are with me, standing and desiring to fulfill the calling, that you would place one of these areas in our heart right now, that it would begin to settle in, that we would begin to focus some more attention on fulfilling that particular calling and then moving on to the others as your Spirit reveals and shows us direction. Lord, I want to walk fully in every one of these callings. I know the people here do as well. So Lord God, anoint us with a power beyond ourselves to fulfill the callings that you have placed before us. And continue to work in our lives. Show us, Lord God. We just have an inkling of an idea. Show us the fullness and the depth of each of these. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, you called of God in so many different ways. Go fulfill your calling. Walk worthy of that calling. Amen? If you're called to pray, you can come up here. If you have a need for prayer, come up and there will be people who are called to pray who will help you. Otherwise, you are officially dismissed tonight. God bless you. Go in peace. Thank you, by the way. I sincerely mean this. Thank you for showing the kind of love that you did to our young people when you came up and prayed for them before the service actually got started. Thank you very much. Keep praying for them all through the weekend. They'll get back sometime late Saturday night. You'll see them again on Sunday morning. God bless you. Go in peace. His name, another same.